Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello, friends, and welcome. Israel, Iran, ceasefires, wars, rumors of wars, President Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, and communism ruling in New York. We'll see what we get to today with Mr. John Haller. Welcome back, brother. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good that we finally have something when the entire world situation is completely calmed down. The news cycle is devoid of any information or anything that's controversial.
Yeah.
Ha ha, right?
Yeah, so we can't possibly nor keep up, nor were we meant to, as human beings, understand everything around the world and keep up with everything that's happening. But I will say, friends, this is recorded 5 days before you're seeing it now. So between the time we record this and the time it airs, things could change. So John, first of all, you did a roundtable last week with, my goodness, great men of God, Patrick Wood, David Bowen, Scott Townsend, Britt Gillette. Just give us a little rundown of it. I know it was very provocative. Yeah.
We focused on the development of technology and artificial intelligence. And I think the one thing that we've pretty much come to the conclusion is that it's referred to as artificial intelligence, not real wisdom. And so we're seeing a lot of problems in that area. But like one of the big issues right now, and this was in the Wall Street, it was reported just yesterday in some of the business papers that I think it was in the Wall Street, that there are computer science programs in college right now. They're dropping like a rock in terms of people. Oh, it was on Patrick's technocracy.news summary yesterday. People aren't going to computer science. They were interviewed a guy who has he is just finishing up his PhD in computer science. He cannot find a job. Because all of those entry-level jobs, even up to middle level for coding and that type of thing, are being taken over by AI. And unemployment is rising among those people. In fact, they're even recommending, this sort of shows how bizarre the world is. They're actually recommending that instead of going into computer science, that people get a liberal arts degree. And we thought the liberal arts degree had been, you know, shot dead and stuffed and hung on the wall as sort of a artifact of history. And now we're going back to it. But the unemployment thing is very big. There's a big competition among the tech companies for people with a lot of experience in this area, to this extent that they're paying signing bonuses to people. There's a lot of competition. There's litigation over restrictive covenants and that type of thing. It's a very big deal, but what we're starting to see the change in employment, and you know, we can go back to the World Economic Forum statement that they said, well, we never really meant it that way, but you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. And we're really on the cusp of that. And it's going to be very disruptive to society, let alone the fact, David, that I just mentioned to somebody the other day, I'm glad I'm an old person, you know, because I, you know, either the Lord returns or I'm out of here because I'm just going to die hopefully a natural death. But everything is changing so quickly. It's just absolutely insane.
Well, isn't that one of the things you talk about, acceleration? Now, the events
I talk about acceleration,
together.
Convergence, logistics, understanding. That's sort of my prophecy grid that I look at. And everything is accelerating. Everything is converging. Yeah. It's all happening. So that's just on the technology mark of the beast system. Yeah. Patrick made a very good comment about a year ago, one of his first interviews after he recovered from his stroke. It was a little over a year ago. And he said that, you know, when this mark of the beast system comes into place, the Antichrist and the false prophet, the Antichrist will commit the abomination of desolation that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. But he's not going to sit down with the Antichrist at that point and say, okay, well, you know, it'd be really great if we had a system where we could control everybody. Maybe we could crowdfund or raise some capital to build that system. And the very good point that Patrick made was, no, he's just going to flip the switch on what's already there. And we're seeing so much of this right now. The development in the technological realm is just off the charts.
Well, we definitely want to get to what's happening in the Middle East with Israel and Iran and U.S. involvement. There's a big debate over that and actually what was accomplished, because CNN was reporting that we barely made a dent in Iran's nuclear development. Anyway, but let's talk about something very important stateside, and that's New York. That's a communist radical Muslim won the primary. For, was it mayor or governor?
Democratic primary for mayor of New York.
Mayor of New York. So this is very interesting.
Yeah, and Cuomo, who was running against him, conceded. There was some talk that it might not be known for a few days because I don't understand this ranked choice thing. I'm not smart. I only went to law school. I don't know that if I understand how to explain ranked choice, except that it seems to violate every concept of one man, one vote that I could ever think of or ever studied in law school.
What is that?
But anyway, Cuomo conceded, so this guy will be the Democratic nominee for mayor. Eric Adams, the current mayor, will run as an independent. Cuomo today said he may run as an independent. And then there's a Republican named Curtis Sliwa, and you might remember him as the founder of the Guardian Angels. And he's very tied into the Jewish community in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. So he'll probably get the Jewish vote there, a huge vote in that area of Brooklyn. But the problem is Adams and Sliwa and maybe Cuomo will split the people who don't want to vote for this radical Marxist Islamist to be mayor. And he'll end up being mayor by default because he'll get the most votes.
Jeez.
And that's a very real possibility. So understand, this is 24 years after, not even 24 years after 9/11, this guy's coming in. And so what Melanie Phillips, the great commentator, JNS, Times of London, wrote a book many years ago called Londonistan, because it was talked about the Islamic invasion of London. And I can tell you, David, I was there in 2018 in London on our channel. We were four blocks from Speaker's Corner near Hyde Park. We were six blocks from Buckingham Palace. Our television options in the hotel room there, we had 50 stations and 10 of them were Arabic language. That was 7 years ago.
Wow.
And by the way, Pam and I in 2017 had been in Israel and we were able to spend time in Judea and Samaria, called incorrectly the West Bank by a lot of people. But I will tell you, I saw more burqas in London than I did in Judea and in the Palestinian Arab areas, Muslim areas of Israel.
Yep. Well, I want to go back, John, and read one of the links that you sent me before the podcast, before we recorded today. And this is from the founder and editor-in-chief of the Rare Foundation, Amy Meck, M-E-K. You can find this over on X Friends on Twitter. She said, "It's almost pathetic and sickly comical watching so-called conservative influencers melt down over a Muslim communist winning the Democrat primary in New York City. You want someone to blame? Look in the mirror. While you were busy screeching, 'It's the Jews, it's the Jews,' Islam was marching unopposed through our schools, courts, government, and cities. The very ideology whose prophet gives you three choices: convert, submit, or die, and you still played footsie like it was your ally. You couldn't lift a finger to warn about Islamic conquest because you were too busy crying about the Jews. Meanwhile, your Christian and Jewish brothers and sisters in the Middle East were being slaughtered, churches burned, children beheaded, women raped and sold, and now it's creeping into your own backyard right here in America." And it goes on. John, I this was very good. I thought it was very provocative, straight, well-written. Elaborate however you'd like.
Well, you know, Amy Mech is somebody you should follow on X, at Amy Mech, M-E-K. Also, Rare Foundation, R-A-I-R Foundation.com. She's been all over this. And the rise of Islamic communities within Dallas, Texas, where they name the streets after Islamic conquerors. Their goal is to bring in Sharia law. And I don't know that it's going to be walked back. So now here you have the largest city in the United States. I put a post up on my Facebook page yesterday. It was the picture. It was the Statue of Liberty wearing a burqa. And I think we're that close. I mean, and everybody says, oh, well, you know, it's no big deal. Is it? Listen, it's here. This is happening in America right now.
Yep.
And so I know a lot of churches are ramping up that are, you know, pro-Israel and that type of thing, are ramping up their security big time because of existing threats, especially with the war in Iran with Israel, war between Iran and Israel over the past couple of weeks, that there may be sleeper cells in the United States. There's the U.S., the security people in the United States, I think Tom Homan said today, is we don't even know where all these people are. So people need to be very much situationally aware for the coming weeks and months, I think, because I don't think we've heard the last of this. But this would be, listen, I will say this. If this guy gets elected mayor of New York, if you're Jewish, if you're Christian, leave.
Yeah.
Leave New York.
Mm-hmm.
Go someplace else. And, yep. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if Israel's ready for a big influx of Jewish people from New York. I mean, this, we're talking probably over a million in New York City alone. I mean, you can imagine how hard that would be to absorb in any city in the United States, let alone the tiny nation of Israel. So this is a big deal. I mean, I think we've crossed all sorts of Rubicons this week.
Well, isn't
any number of issues.
Isn't part of the problem two things? Communism. It's like the red-green axis. Communism and Islam have been kind of whitewashed and, you know, watered down the meanings, the ideologies, the anyway, I really think that's part of the problem, the miseducation or ignorance. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever interviewed or talked to Trevor Loudon.
Of course.
Okay, well, Trevor Loudon did a great talk a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, for Rare Foundation and an article at their website. You can find it. I interviewed him a couple months ago on this particular issue for about an hour and a half. And it's clear. Trevor's kind of out ahead of everything. And Trevor was saying then, what you're going to see is you're seeing an infiltration of these ideas. Now, he thinks it comes from Russia propaganda and things into the right, which he calls the woke right. And you're seeing this. You're seeing meltdowns by people intellectually. You hope that they're doing it because they're just going insane, like Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, or some people refer to him as Tucker Katarlson because of his. And you know, and this week, and so, but you're seeing this on a lot of the mega channels and podcasts and that type of thing. The Jews are dragging us into a war. And it's like, and Amy Mech makes a good point. If you think little tiny Israel in a sea of Islamic green is the problem, you don't understand how this is doing. And we have massive Christian persecution going on. We just had a suicide bombing in an Orthodox church in Syria that killed 20 people the other day. How many did you hear about this? I mean, how many people didn't talk about it? But when I saw, like, I think Laura Ingraham, who I actually like, on Fox News yesterday, she was talking about this thing and like, oh, the socialist guy's got nominated for mayor in New York. No, he's a socialist, Marxist, Islamist. He's like the embodiment of what Trevor Loudon calls the red-green axis.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really creepy. It's sobering, but this is what we have to be aware of, friends. When we come back with John Haller, we'll be talking a little bit about understanding, can there truly be peace or a ceasefire in the Middle East? What's happening with Iran and Israel? And we'll do that and a lot more on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. All right, friends, we're going to bring John Haller right back in. And by the way, I don't remember if I gave his YouTube channel Fellowship Bible Chapel. You can go look that up. Check out the roundtable that he recently did. So, John, let's jump over to the Middle East now. And a lot of confusion, conflicting reports. I can't believe the irresponsible CNN. Of course, I shouldn't say that because I follow the Media Research Center. So I can believe that CNN would take an anonymous, you know, leaker on what happened in Iran and the strikes there with the nuclear facilities. Go ahead and share your thoughts. Go wherever you'd like.
Listen, so what we've seen happen here over the past week, first of all, Israel has done a tremendous job with the war in Iran over the past two and a half weeks. Mm-hmm. They took out, they decapitated the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. I believe they did this. One of the concerns was if they go too far, there'll be a regime change, and how will the regime change look? And I think there was a concern. I know I expressed concern that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard guys might take over if the mullahs were taken out or there was a bit of a revolution in Iran, and they would be worse because they're military guys and they're radical Islamists and they believe they can cause chaos and bring about the apocalypse. So Israel took out a bunch of them. They took out most of their top nuclear scientists. They didn't get the top guy. The Ayatollah was sort of, determined to be off limits, took out massive numbers of rocket launchers. And then on, I'm trying to get my dates correct here. It would have been June 21st, on Saturday, June 21st here in America, the U.S. Joined into the fight. Trump had specifically stated, and he's been saying this for 20 years, so I don't understand why people didn't understand. Yeah. He said, Iran will not have enriched uranium. They will not have a nuclear weapon.
And by the way, so, Clinton said this, Obama said this, you know, and Biden said this. They were all saying the same thing, but Trump was the one to actually do something about it.
Right. And now on the MAGA right, they're having a meltdown. Oh, the Jews are dragging us into a war. This is not our war. We have nothing to do over there. We don't want troops on the ground. Okay, you're not getting troops on the ground. I haven't seen that happen yet. And then you'll see they say, well, Israel started this fight. They should finish it. But then when Israel does something, they say, well, what's Israel doing now? Look at them. They're just trying to drag us in. So you can't – listen, there is a complete meltdown across a political spectrum here. So this was a great – this – what Israel accomplished, they had set up a manufacturing plant for drones in Iran. Not too dissimilar from what Ukraine did with regard to sending things up thousands of miles from Ukraine in Russia. They set up a trucking company to move things around. Wow. So it also shows that warfare is going to be fought very differently. And I think we need to factor that into all of our Bible prophecy analyses, informed speculation and timelines and that type of thing. But Israel had a tremendous thing. And then Trump said, but the one thing that Israel could not do was they did not have the weapons to get down to these bunkers, these underground facilities like Fordo, which was about 290, 300 feet underground. But by the way, Israel had people in there mapping things out. It was unbelievable. This thing will be, you're assuming if we study military history in the millennium, this thing will be studied in the millennium, because it's an incredible, these are some of the most amazing operations in human military history that we've seen in the past 6-8 months from Israel, and also I think to some extent from Ukraine. So we sent these bunker busters over. They dropped 6 of them in one shaft in Fordo. They tried to hide the shaft with concrete. First bomb busted through. These things are dropped. Only the United States has the capability of dropping bombs this large. A B-2 bomber can deliver those. There was a sort of a sleight of hand where they had the B-2 bombers coming in a convoy from one direction, and the real B-2 bombers that were going to do this flew all the way from Missouri to Iran with refueling tankers and everything. And they drop these bombs. They weigh about 30,000 pounds. They're dropped from 7 miles up, and they landed within a meter of the exact center of their target.
Gosh, that's it.
And the shaft went down. Then another one went down, another one. So there were 6 dropped in the same spot. I think there were 14 altogether. I think they were all used to Fordo. Then there were Tomahawk missiles at other nuclear facilities. Trump came out, said Fordo has been obliterated. But then a leak was made to the New York Times and CNN said, oh, well, we really only put the Iranian nuclear program back a few months. Now, first of all, nobody thought that the Iranian nuclear program would be completely eradicated or gone away, because they have the institutional knowledge. The only way you get rid of it is complete top to bottom regime change. And I just don't know that that's realistic. And yeah, I think if you look at Bible prophecy, Persia appears to be around for some of the major wars coming up. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so they took out the Fordo. They said just a few months. They had a big news conference on June. It was Thursday morning, June 26. Pete Hegseth said, no, we took it out. Israel has said you took it out. We set the program back 10 years. But that means they're going to come back. They've been doing this. Netanyahu keeps saying this over and over the last 30 years. They're close. Israel does something, then they're not close. Then they build it back up, then they're close. Netanyahu says they're close, and they do it. So we need to look at the whole history of how this thing has unfolded and not truncate it to support our, you know, crazy political ideas or ideologies and that type of thing. This was a stunning achievement.
Really?
But what we're seeing today, though, or, you know, in the recent few days, is Trump and Netanyahu's, this is Israel Hayom, Times of Israel, reported all over the Israeli press, Trump and Netanyahu's two-state division, Gaza's wars in, Abraham Accords expansion. David, what I'm seeing happening here, and you're going to see unfolding, if this turns out to be true, people are going to push the expansion of the Abraham Accords. They're going to push a two-state solution. The proposals apparently agreed to between Trump and Netanyahu, and Netanyahu is on his way to Washington in the by the time this airs, Netanyahu may have been in Washington. Mm. They're talking about, we will agree to a two-state solution, a Palestinian solution, with assuming that the Palestinian Authority makes some changes, and we will limit the areas that we will want for settlements in Judea and Samaria. Mm. I'm telling you, David, what this is, and I opposed it, Bill Caney, a lot of us opposed this. This is the Trump peace to prosperity plan that was announced in January 2020 at the White House. By the way, we always say, be careful messing around with Israel and dividing the land. And that day that this plan of Trump was released, Jared Kushner put it together, that afternoon, everything went south at the White House over a subject that we refer to as Charlie Vector 019er. There's a direct connection, and we need to be very, very careful what we're doing here. And so you're seeing the resurrection or revival of the Trump plan. I'm thoroughly convinced of it. If these reports that I'm reading, you know, over the past few days are true, I'm concerned about this, because, you know, God has some very specific admonitions about dividing his land. And I think we're treading on very dangerous territory.
Yes. That's one thing I was hoping that President Trump would change a little bit on the the two-state solution. But let's talk about briefly the possible prosecution of whoever the leaker was, because we've got a traitor. We've got someone who either hates America or hates Trump, maybe both. What do you think about that, John? We only have 3 minutes left.
I'm glad you reeled me back in on that one, because it's a very good point that you raised, because, you know, we all want people to go to jail. We want these prosecutions to go forth. Look, I'm a trial lawyer. I did some white collar criminal work. These cases are very, very complicated to put together. Hmm. But we need to understand that even within the new Trump administration, he had big problems with it in the in his Trump 45 administration. Now it appears to carry over. There are people that not on board with the Trump pro-Israel agenda. And they're embedded in the military, they're embedded in the Pentagon, they're embedded in the State Department. And this is going to be a very big problem. There is you'll need to do some research. I think Amy Mack actually at Rare Foundation has covered this pretty extensively. I think this is where I read it, about a thing called the Quincy Institute, which is funded by the Koch brothers, the billionaires that were never on board with Trump. They have all these people that is kind of a think tank, and they're funding them, and they're getting appointed to positions within the Trump administration, and they're not on board with what Trump wants to do. Wow. So I'm not on board with this two-state solution in Israel. That has disaster written all over it. But I'm also saying that you'll notice over the last couple months, Netanyahu and Trump are mad at each other. Netanyahu and Trump are getting along. And then Trump comes out and says, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Wall Street Journal, it's fake news. We're getting along just fine. And so I am telling you that there is a war, ideological war being fought within the Trump administration, let alone what's going on in Congress.
Yeah.
This is a very big problem. And I think the more we try to mess around with Israel and dividing the land, we will have increasing problems here domestically.
So, John, I know we're running out of time, but where would you send people for more information or just to keep up best? Are there a couple of good resources that you follow?
Bill Koenig at watch.org. There's any number of, people who do prophecy updates and stuff. Our channel, we try to analyze these things. Listen, this stuff is coming fast and furious.
Yeah.
Keep a level head. Yes. And by the way, I get most of my news now from X and Telegram because the mainstream media is just, they're way behind the curve. They're it takes them 2 days to catch up.
Yeah, they can't be trusted. That's why I want to, again, plug the Media Research Center, mrc.org. John Haller, thank you again. We'll do this again, Lord
thank
willing.
Thank you, David.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, friends. Share the podcast. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.